This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to episode 218 of the Down to Dunk Podcast. The boys are back in town. We're all back together. I'm Luke. Taylor's here. Jay's here. Andrew's here.
Boobs!
It's good to be here. It's good to be back.
It is good.
Boobs!
Back where we belong in Jay's kitchen.
Dining room.
It's open concept house, so it's like hard to know where we are. Us.
It's not definitely not the
where
kitchen.
Where am though. I? Am I in your bedroom or the living room or the
bathroom? All one. It's all one place.
Okay.
Guys, it's been a pretty...
It's a great start.
All right. It's a really good open concept joke.
Guys, it's been a good week of Thunder basketball. Jay, tell us about it.
So on Friday night was the game... You know, it's kind of been some blah games for really since Christmas. And last night, or on Friday night, last Friday, they played the Rockets and they won 116-108. And it really felt as if they finally like, oh, this is what this team can kind of do when they're engaged. And they're always going to get Houston's best punch.
Marriage.
Last three quarters. It's two quarters.
Half the game.
I forgot that first quarter was so atrocious. But
yeah.
Anyway, and so they ended up winning 116-108, and they kind of even pulled away a little bit more in the fourth than that. And the Rockets made a late push and hit some ridiculous threes. And Kevin Durant fouled James Harden on a three. And but he also played maybe his – I've literally never seen him play one defensive series as well as he played one at the end of that game where he locked James Harden down.
Yeah.
But he had 33-12. Russ had 14 assists, which will be a trend that at some point I think we'll talk about during this pod about Russell Westbrook's play as of late. Then they played Washington on Monday night and just controlled that game from the beginning. Washington is you can put them in the same kind of league as the Rockets of teams that you feel like should be better. And then they played on Wednesday night, the game that's kind of the warm-up towards what we're going to talk about for tomorrow night or Saturday night, and they played Orlando and won 117-114 in a really exciting game, just like the first Magic game. And Kevin Durant hit a game-winning shot, 37 points for him, but it was not, in my mind, was not the best player on the court. Russell Westbrook had 19 rebounds and 14 assists.
Crazy.
And just an incredible triple-double as part of that game. And so, guys, real quick, why don't we go around and talk about some things that are standing out about the Thunder right now, any of those games that stood out to you, any moments?
Deion in the starting lineup.
Deion. They don't lose with Deion in the starting lineup. Never. It won't happen. That's why they won't lose on Saturday.
That's 100%.
Because of Deion. No, actually, Deion has been Deion. Like, he's against the Magic, he had several sequences where he was just doing stupid Deion things and missing dumb shots and getting in the lane and missing really bad layups. But he plays pretty good defense. Like, he's actually trying really hard. He's hitting 39% of his threes from the corners. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I think that they will bring Andre Robertson back in, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Quicker trigger, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Deion's been fine.
It makes sense. Like, the rotation as is right now feels good. Maybe I'm crazy. Now, Oladipo scored 37 points, or, you know, like, I don't know if they're able to do, but they are. I mean, he probably would have done that regardless if he'd been out there. And so I don't know. I thought that Deion played well in the Houston game, really well.
He had a great game against Houston.
And he's actually, the strange ones is that he's played poorly in the two games against lesser, like Washington, he didn't play very well.
Right.
And then he didn't play very well against the Magic. Didn't shoot very well. I thought he played really well in the Washington game. He just didn't shoot very well.
Yeah.
Just gets bored, like Smart Guy, that Disney Channel show. That kid who did so bad in school, but it's because he was so smart, he would just get bored. That's what happens with Deion.
Deion is a smart guy.
Super smart, one of the best players, but he has to be challenged to really play well.
That's right. That's why on Saturday he's going to score 30.
Yep, he's going to score 40, actually.
Or he's going to one for 15 is what I'm fearing in that game.
But in all reality, they have to cover him. Like, the floor is spaced so much better in the starting lineup. Like, people will people make fun of Deion. People hate Deion. Like, whatever. Like, the floor is actually spaced a lot better with Deion in the starting lineup. People have to cover him because he can do stuff off the dribble, and he can actually be an offensive player, even if he's almost pretending to be an offensive player some nights.
Yeah.
People still cover him. So
I don't remember any of these games having, like, dud first quarters like I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so with Deion in the starting lineup.
Except for Houston, right?
Oh, yeah, Houston. That's true. But but it helps a lot. And Cantor has been so good the past 2 weeks, too.
He's good, dude. When
Dwight got out of the game, got kicked out of the game, Cantor went orfies. That means off. He finished with like 20 and 10. He had 13 the other night. Hit a three. I'm glad he's hitting corner threes.
He hits that corner three.
Yeah. We saw him hit some last year.
Freaking awesome.
If he can do that,
he's the best player in the league. Him and Deion. We don't need Russ and KD.
Get him gone.
Going orfies.
No, I think that what's crazy about Russ's stretch is, I mean, his assists have been insane, but he is a 30th in the league in total rebounds. He's like the only guard within any range. I know SportsCenter tweeted something about him having more rebounds than Chris Bosh this season. He also averages more than Tim Duncan, Taj Gibson, LeBron James, Jan Mahimi, Jahlil Okafor, like all these guys, Marc Gasol.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Al Horford. He averages more rebounds than all those guys. Even he obviously averages more rebounds than Serge Ibaka, but you wouldn't think that he'd have that many more than all these guys.
Mm-mm.
So
over the last 10 games,
cool.
Over the last 10 games, he's averaging 22 points, 12 assists, and 10 rebounds.
Triple double.
Sounds good to me.
That's insane. I mean, I don't know if anybody will ever average a triple double again in a season.
Yeah.
But to do it over 10 games is incredibly.
Like, his season, I'm looking at your computer right now. His season stats, he's averaging 24, 10, and 7.6. That is crazy.
It's stupid. He's been really, really good. So where does Russell Westbrook rank in the NBA? Like,
top five, for sure.
Top five.
Where, though? Where? Rank them.
I don't put it. You put LeBron, Steph, KD, number 1, 2, 3. I think people are throwing Kawhi up there in the top five. They're throwing Anthony Davis still in the top.
Kawhi's falling off. Give it to Russ. He's 4.
Damn.
I can't say no.
Yeah, I can't either.
He was so good against the Magic.
Anthony Davis.
He's falling off.
His team just sucks.
Anthony Davis is, I mean, he's irrelevant because his team sucks.
Because of his team. He's still really good.
Can blame that urban man, Dell Demps.
The urban brother.
Yeah, I don't know. It's we got like three people, everyone in the house shaking their heads at us right now. I mean, Russ has been phenomenal. He's been so, so good. And his decision-making, I feel like, has gotten better. Like, even though that game was really close against the Magic, he had lots of opportunities to take really dumb threes and take really stupid shots that he didn't, that he worked the ball.
He only had 2 turnovers that game. And then the thing that was really cool to me, I thought, is he got that rebound. And I want to try to put this in words, and then I may fail doing so well. But there was something I saw in that last play. So Deion gets the rebound after Serge just annihilates Oladipo's shot.
Yeah.
Waiters gets the ball, takes a few dribbles, hands it to Russ. Russ passes it to Kevin. But in that play, it was strange because I don't know. I can't think of a team that has the dynamic of Kevin and Russ like they do right now in my history of watching basketball the last 15, 20 years or so. They have 2 of the top 4 players.
Yeah.
Right? Like Kobe, Shaq would have been that kind of level. But they are working together, and I feel like Russ is the leader, though he's not the better player.
Yeah, he is.
Like in that
he just has the ball more.
And that's natural.
And a lot of it is that he's not, like, Russ is not an off-ball player. Durant is an off-ball player.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're just going to see Russ control more possessions just because it makes more sense. And not that Kevin can't be an on. He's certainly an on-ball player as well, but it's just so much easier.
There was also, I think that in that, so that play in particular really, there was something about it, just the way that Russ kind of calmed and pushed the guys forward, right? Like, all right, like on the court, he's stop. We're going to go forward. Everybody move the ball. And I don't know. I'm not saying by elevating Russ's leadership, I'm not in the same way saying that KD is not. I think it's to have two guys that are coexisting, top 2-3 player in Kevin Durant, top 4 player in Russell Westbrook.
Right.
And they're coexisting in a way that is actually the best they've ever been together.
And they're both perimeter players.
Yeah. It's just a very unique thing that I don't think, because even if you look at the greatest duos, Shaq and Kobe didn't exist very well together. You know, Malone and Stockton did, but that was natural.
But their
game point
meshed,
guard and power forward. Pippen and Jordan coexisted well, but they were completely different players. They weren't ball. Pippen wasn't ball dominant. He was a great secondary piece in that. And so, anyway, it's just a unique thing that I think that the Thunder fans hopefully aren't, you know, taking for granted a little bit. But because Russ is right now, he's playing, and this is. We can maybe, I don't know if y'all want to continue talking about the past games or if we want to look forward a little bit to Golden State, but if good Russ shows up against Golden State, he can give them as many problems as they're going to give us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely. Definitely.
Russ and KD are as big a problem as Draymond Green and Steph are for teams, for anybody.
Oh, yeah. I think. Overall, they're a bigger problem, but the problem that comes with the Golden State Warriors
is
the
matchup issue with Draymond and stuff.
Is the whole team. It's not the one-on-one matchups. It's how they're a cohesive team that moves the ball, that understands what they're wanting to do on defense. Like that. I mean, that's the problem with Golden State. Like, I think that like the Thunder, like if you were to like stack up all the talent and like you'd give Russ and KD, like they can't match that talent. You know, one-on-one, they can't match it.
Yeah.
But the overall talent for Golden State's better.
Right.
But they won't be able to deal with them. Russ's three-point attempts are coming down. Like, I think it was January 19th, he shot 6 threes. He was 1-for-6. But since then, he hasn't taken more than 4 threes in a game. And against Orlando, he only took 1. So, I mean, that's a good thing. Like, Russ needs to stop taking threes. Like, he's shooting, like, 30%. So, hopefully that's a trend that we continue to see. And hopefully he doesn't, like, watch Steph shoot threes on Saturday. And like, me too.
Well, that happens sometimes where he starts feeling personally challenged. And so if Steph shoots a three, he's going to shoot a three.
Hopefully it's the Rockets. I saw that.
But what he should do instead is Steph shoots a three while I'm going to go and try to destroy Andrew Bogut at the rim. I'm going to pass it to Steven Adams or whatever. So I want to hear kind of your opinions. And I don't know if you still want to, if you were ready to move to the Golden State game. But I want to ask just a question of all the guys here is what is it? What has changed for Russ? We've seen him play like this in stretches, but this year it's been a struggle, I think, getting to this point a little bit. And maybe it's a buy-in. And my theory is it's he's finally in on Donovan's system.
That's what I think.
Yeah. You think that's it?
I think he was on Colbert's late night show, got the Colbert bump.
Colbert bump. That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
He got it. Now he's better.
That's Luke's opinion.
I think he's
Russ
buying in. I also think his teammates are playing better.
Yeah,
right now too. It's easier to pass to guys when you know they're going to make shots. Like you don't ever want to pass to Kyle Singler in November and December of this season. Like you're like, oh my gosh, like why are you on my team?
Yeah, things he's doing with
you just stare at him and say 5 years.
Yeah,
it's 5 years.
Is part of it Dion?
I think more it's the business.
Those guys love Dion.
They love Dion.
Anytime they talk about like our team is like Kevin Durant talks, he's like our team is really tough to guard. You know, you have lots of one-on-one players. Me, Russ, Dion. Like he always includes Dion in all those. Like those guys love Dion.
So yeah, go ahead.
You think it's Andre Robertson being gone?
No,
out of the lineup.
No, it's not like that.
You're talking about guys you can pass. Like he's not scared to pass to.
That's
to other
that
players.
That's
because
valid.
They're playing better. What's the one player who misses shots all the time, airballs, who's not playing right now?
But the thing he's not he doesn't take I don't think this stretch of Russell Westbrook's career has anything to do with Andre Robertson.
All I will say is the space is a big deal for
the spacing is a lot better.
That's a big deal.
But they're not playing like Amir Arson played 15 minutes a game.
You're right.
Like, he's not playing like 30 minutes a game like Deion is. Like, Deion played this many minutes anyways, typically.
Russ has three scoring big men that he can work with now in pick.
That's a big deal, too.
Literally all the big men he plays with can score and run with him. And so that helps a lot.
Do you remember Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point, right? He never had any big men to run pick and rolls with.
Bring him back. Great, we got no toughness.
Third big.
We have no toughness now.
All I know is Adams. Adams is just a side note that has been playing
good, man.
And just nobody's really paying attention to just because, you know, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to. He has been really good.
Yeah, he's been good. I think the sets that Donovan is running too, that he's just completely comfortable with, like throwing that oop in that pick and roll to Adams is like second nature now to Russ.
Yeah, works like every time.
That's a guaranteed assist.
Sometimes not. Sometimes they play
it
well.
Steve's
Russ, what he does is he has the wide open lane, but he's like, yeah, this would be awesome to throw Steve in the ball. And so, because you have to choose. That's the issue.
Yeah.
And well, but it's going to get you something.
It should, unless he throws the oop before he realizes he has the wide open lane, but that doesn't happen much.
So. I did notice at the end of that Magic game, I was getting frustrated because he was trying to force pick and roll passes at the end of that fourth quarter until that last score when he finally just drove the basket. And I was like, thank you for just finishing. Just stop trying.
They were clogging the lane pretty good.
Yeah, they were.
The Magic were. Jason freaking Smith.
I can't talk about when he hit that three, that contested Serge Ibaka three. I didn't know what to do with myself.
Scream.
I was yelling, Jason Smith, all game. He was actually good.
Shout out to our Twitter follower, Jason Smith.
That's my friend, Jason Smith. Shout out to you,
Jason Smith.
Oh,
that's your friend.
Yeah.
So I wasn't calling
you. Let's talk a little bit about tomorrow night's game. So Golden State, Oklahoma City, 8 o'clock here, Central Standard Time. Don't know why I said that. But 8 o'clock tip here on ESPN. It's the game that
the one where we've all been waiting for.
Since San Antonio, right? Like opening game. This is they played Cleveland once, they played San Antonio once, and now they play Golden State. And I think for me, it should give us a better idea where this team is going in the future. But if / possibly when they get beat by 15 to 20, does it say, you know, just brace yourself for the blow up the team talk?
The blow up the team talk is like the dumbest thing that could ever happen, though. Tell me this. What happens after you blow up the team? What happens?
You suck really bad.
You get Steph Curry.
For a long time.
What happens?
We just said it, Andrew.
You suck really bad for a really long time.
It's stupid. It's stupid. People were saying blow up the Spurs, you know, a few years ago. Whenever like the Lakers had Andrew Bynum, who was good. And the Lakers were, you know, the Kobe, Gasol, Bynum, Odom, Lakers. Everybody's like, well, Spurs are out. They're done.
Blow them up. Start over.
Blow up the Spurs. You know, tell Tim Duncan to retire. Trade Tony Parker. Like, people are saying that.
Yeah.
And, like, look where they are today. A historically great team.
Pour one out for Manu's balls. They got twisted up.
Oh man, poor Manu.
Testicular torsion that happened to me once.
I think it's a groin.
Did it really?
Right?
I think it was groin.
It's a groin injury.
It's testicular torsion. That's where one twists in on itself and the wiring gets twisted up.
Is that really what
that's
it
real.
Is?
That's really what happened.
He's out for 4 to 6 weeks with that.
Because he had to have surgery. They had to go in and
sometimes they just unfold on like themselves. Like they just like fold back out or
whatever.
Are
you kidding me right now? That's unbelievable.
And if they don't, someone's got to go. They got to get in surgery and untwist them. It hurts.
That's my miffed and peeve, man. I cannot believe that happens to people.
It cuts off blood circulation. Your ball could die if you don't get it surgically repaired.
It hurts bad.
Wow.
I know from
predictions for Golden State at the end of the pod. Is that all right?
Experience.
Yeah. If we remember and we're not lost in some sort of nonsensical conversation.
What?
Balls.
Do you guys want to start our Twitter questions? Ow! Was that your elbow? Jay just pointed at me.
Entire body popped.
I think he broke his arm.
We're talking about dance moves.
Twitter questions!
Jay's over here popping and locking and dropping.
Our first Twitter question comes from @asternlicht35, who wants to know if we can apologize for saying Kawhi is having a better year than Durant.
I don't know who said that. Did I say that?
I did.
Andrew said that. Andrew's the hot take. The hot take, Andrew.
Hot take cannon.
Yeah, I'll apologize. I'm sorry. He's, well, the thing is that Durant has been so good in the past 2 weeks. Oh my gosh, Taylor's like,
Taylor's dying.
Taylor's dead. Durant's been so good. And Kawhi's, he's been okay. He's been pretty good. Durant, I would never argue that Kawhi is the better player.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
At that point in time, Kawhi was having a better season.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is that conversation was actually happening, right? Didn't Bill Simmons say that, is Kevin Durant the fourth best?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. He's the best now. I think Durant is probably going to end up having a better season than Kawhi overall.
Did you say he's the best now?
The best small forward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't paid attention to how LeBron's playing right now, to be honest with
you. LeBron's been good. I think Durant's been a little bit more dominant in the stretch. We'll see I don't know. I think a lot of this conversation, not that it really should matter this much, a lot of this conversation will hinge on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because if Durant like shows up against Golden State like LeBron and Kawhi didn't, if he like scores 40 or something on Saturday, then I think the conversation's over.
So who guards who in that? Who spends most of, is there Iggy, Harrison Barnes kind of thing? Does Draymond try to guard Durant at all?
I think they give him as many looks as they can. Like you don't want to give a guy like Durant one look all game and then he like figures you out in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start with Harrison Barnes on him and then bring in Iguodala, and then at stretches you'll play a little bigger and you can put Draymond on him.
I forgot about the one point I was going to say about the Golden State game, just since we're already talking about Kevin Durant. I'll just go ahead and switch gears. The one thing that Russ does in that Golden State matchup is does he force you to play Bogut?
Hmm.
Does it force you away because of the rim protection?
Is Azeele still out?
He was out last. He was out against the Wizards. I don't know if he will be against the...
I don't know what he's hurt
But I'm
with.
Saying even that, do you still have to play two bigs with Draymond and Azeele? Goes back to that question I've been asking all season. Like, do the Thunder have the opportunity to create where they cannot go small? Because Draymond is the best defender in the league, one-on-one. He's a great help defender, but he's not known for his rim protection.
Right. But so if you're trading 2 for 3 with Golden State, that,
and that's the
matter.
Deal. You're right. Yeah. So they're like, all right, we'll just beat you 130 to 120.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't really see the Thunder forcing the Golden State Warriors to do anything.
Yeah. So. I'm with you. I thought it was a valid question.
It was a valid question.
Let's move on to our next question.
But
valid
they play like Vesta Zeeley and Andrew Bogut play a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I know. Yeah. We talked about that.
No, they don't.
They'll play they'll play the death lineup like 8 minutes a game. So.
All right. Next Twitter question. It comes from @M_Hartles. Who wants to know, will Adams be a top 10 center at any point in his career?
No.
Probably not.
Just adding Twitter questions after I printed my rundown.
Yeah, man. You must have printed it. I mean,
oh, sorry, man.
There's been more added to that.
Great. Top 10 center for Steven Adams.
No. I think he'll be a really good starting center for a long time. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
On a team where
how
would he become a top 10 center?
Yeah, like it's an offensive thing? Like, because I think is it a touch? My question maybe is touches, right?
I think you could be a top 10 defensive center.
Like DeAndre Jordan's a top 10 center, but he doesn't get a ton of touches.
Yeah.
You just have to be, he has to be dominant at something.
On one end, you don't have to be dominant offensively. You can be dominant defensively as a center.
Ben Wallace was a top 10 center in his day.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's just not, like, he's just a, like, he's a good player, but he's not like, oh my gosh, like, Steven Adams has dominated this game.
You don't game plan for Steven Adams.
This is a question out of my ignorance.
Okay.
Because I don't know. because I don't watch this team very much, what would you say that DeAndre is dominant in?
He's a dominant rebounder. He's a dominant shot blocker.
Athlete.
He controls the paint, man. A lot more than Adams does.
For sure. I'm not comparing him to Adams, but I would have never said that DeAndre is dominant in anything. But
I think
he's a great rebounder, yes.
Yeah, he's a
and he can dunk the basketball.
Second leading rebounder in the league. Andre Drummond,
yeah.
not a really great offensive player. He's a great pick and roll man.
Dominant at something.
He's a dominant rebounder. So yeah.
Myers Leonard.
A dominant three-point shooter.
Dominant white guy.
Dominant white dude. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be hard because, like, you have... Like, Jahlil Okafor has a better chance to be a top 10 center than Steven Adams does. And Karl-Anthony Towns, if they're going to play him at center, which they should, is going to be Porzingis if he's going to be right. a center. Like, you just brought in three guys who are more talented than Steven Adams in one draft class. And then, like, you have all the guys that are in the league
yeah,
already.
Yeah, I get talented, man, but the fit of Steven Adams.
He's a great fit for the Thunder, but he's just not a top 10 center.
Think of him like
I still would say I think he's up there in the top. He's the top 10 for sure athletically. And so that's the hard thing is talent-wise, yes, Jahlil Okafor is...
What kind of athlete are you talking about when you say top 10 athletically?
Just everything, like...
He's a good athlete. I don't know. I just don't think of him as an elite athlete.
For the center position.
I think he's a really good athlete.
Yeah.
Like how far behind is... Like, he's pretty far behind guys like Drummond and DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
DeAndre is probably the most physically athletic guy.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't... Like, when I think of Adams, like, I don't think, like, whoa, that dude is, like, athletic. I think of him as, like, dude, that guy's strong, and he...
Yeah, but that's part of athleticism,
and he will,
right?
And
strength,
he's athletic. He can leap. He is athletic.
He can run. He's quick.
I'm not saying he's not athletic, but I just don't... I just... When I'm describing him as a center, that's not what I jump to.
I think it just depends on who you're comparing him to.
And it depends on your definition of athleticism, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say he's... Like, on a baseline athleticism, I'd say he's probably more athletic than Drummond.
Really? I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Oh, how, though?
I mean, just all the things we just talked about. Like he can... The way he jumps, the way he runs, his strength, all of those things. I'm just saying, like, if you were to look at different players in the NBA, compare him the same way.
I mean...
I'm saying Drummond's athletic, but I think to say that Steven Adams is not...
I didn't say he's not, but I just think that Drummond is a much better athlete than
Drummond
Steven
is
Adams.
A much better athlete, but you look at a guy like...
A much better athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drummond is a monster. Drummond is a freak athlete.
I'm not talking about the way they play basketball.
No,
I'm not talking
athlete.
About anything. I'm saying...
Athlete.
Okay, athleticism. You're saying... Okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's why he gets his points, because he's dunking everything and running and jumping.
Yes.
He's not that skilled.
And he also plays... I think part of it is he also plays for the Pistons, and he gets everything. Like, he doesn't have the best rebounding point guard in the league and the best... And maybe in the history of the NBA. He doesn't have... Some of that also... I think that Steven Adams will never be statistically what any of these guys is, in large part because he is... I'm not saying he's as good of a center as any of these guys.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is he will never... When you're the one guy on your team that rebounds the ball... And the one low post presence and the one predominant player on your team, of course you're going to have the opportunity to be better. But I think to downplay Steven Adams because he fits a space on a team that's...
Why is
good.
It downplaying him to say he's not as good of an athlete as Andre Drummond?
I'm saying, but we've had the other conversations. I think top 10 center is probably not ever going to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't... What my point is I don't think he would ever have the chance to be that because of his role on this team. And you're saying that you don't think he could ever be that.
Well, I kind of disagree with that because I think you could say... I don't know if you could say it this year, but I could say, like, Andrew Bogut, I would have probably put him in the top 10 last year because of the things that he can do for the Warriors. Because he's such a good passer, such a good shot blocker. Like, he's just... He controls the defense. I think you can have that opportunity on a great team because you can stand out some. Like Tim Duncan, top 10 center last year. Easy. And he wasn't like, I don't know. I think he has I wouldn't say he doesn't have the chance. I just don't think he's that good.
No. And my bigger conversation, and it's stupid. It's a really dumb conversation because really you're trying to define athleticism, right? Like in athleticism for Andre Drummond is that he can jump and get rebounds.
You know, athleticism, it's a lot like porn. I know it when I see it.
Why in the world would you say that?
It's the Supreme Court definition of pornography.
That's actually,
I know it when I see it.
That was actually a lot more politically correct than most things we say on this.
Boom! Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It's also about Steven Adams, and it's from at Fergie Fresh. He says, in his head, he feels it'll be hard to re-sign both Adams and Ibaka next summer. Who would we keep if we had to pick one? There can only be one.
Ooh. Serge.
Ibaka, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
All right.
That's easy.
Our next Twitter question comes from at Rob Spencer 02, who wants to know, is KD to Golden State realistic? And if it happens, could that team be?
Why would you even play anymore?
The dream team.
I know.
It's realistic.
And they could beat the dream team.
You think it'd be the dream team?
So here's the misnomer about the dream team is they were, a lot of them were really old.
Yeah. But the guys that weren't old,
Jordan,
are like all top 50 of all time guys.
Man, Golden State with Kevin Durant, man.
They're going to be good.
Steph Curry, Kevin Durant on two different positions will be some of the, down as the best in their, like top 20 players of all time.
Give it to me.
You know, then you have a lot of pieces that will get destroyed by the rest of the dream team. The issue is also you have David Robinson. Robinson in his prime. Yeah. Karl Malone in his prime.
They're just
Pippen in his prime, who could defend.
Barkley would kill them.
You're right.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
You're right. I disagree
John
with myself.
Stockton, Clyde
I just was thinking it's...
Yeah. I disagree with myself.
Part of that is because I think this...
Old Larry Bird? Come on, dude.
Old Larry Bird.
Larry Bird's
so...
Who could not move?
Did you hear him say the other day he's going to die young?
He's going to die
what
young
in the world.
That's already not true. He old balls.
Larry, uncool.
The dream team would still kill them.
Now Andrew's just looking at pictures of the dream team on Google Images.
It's a great thing to look at.
Pretty good.
Stockton was a good defender too.
All right, let's move.
He would jack you in the nuts.
I mean, he'd beat Curry up.
He would
jack you in the nuts.
He would on a pick and roll.
He would, man.
You come across that pick, he'd just
okay. Let's
jack
you. Do you guys want to move on to our next Twitter question?
Yeah,
it comes from at Think of a Card.
I love
this. And he wants us to guess the question that he is providing the answer to. First answer. Kobe.
I have one. Who is a human example of how it's possible to love and hate something the exact same amount?
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
What's my favorite kind of beef?
Kobe.
That's pretty good.
Who is making Byron Scott look like an idiot?
Kobe.
Dude, Kobe's been going off lately. I've been really enjoying it.
I know. It's fun.
Yeah.
All right, our next answer is Blazers and Spurs.
What would Clint Eastwood and his crew wear to a nice cigar lounge?
That's good.
That's great.
What do they dress up Charles Barkley in when he goes to San Antonio?
San Antonio for the big women. For them big ones. He called the Phoenix Suns cheerleaders ugly last night on the TNT broadcast. He did.
He's the best person on
Snow. That's a good call.
He did.
All right, you guys have an answer for that one? All right, our next is 5 rebounds, 3 steals, and a couple of transition scores.
What did Luke's weekend in Dallas consist of?
You went up, boy!
Boom!
That's pretty good.
Dang, man. You had a great weekend.
Party bus.
Party bus.
Party bus.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question.
Did you have one for that?
Let's get some answers. What are the answers? We got to get the answers.
Oh, shoot. I'll look them up.
All right. Well, do we want to wait and look them up right now? It's not like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys want to talk about while I'm scrolling through Twitter?
Nothing.
Okay, I found him.
Can we define athletes?
All right, here are the answers.
What is an athlete?
Here are the questions.
Here are the questions to the answer.
The answer for Kobe
What kind of beef gives Deion the squirts at halftime? Oh, Kobe beef. Luke, nice. P1.
Number two, Blazers and Spurs.
What will Russ wear to his next press conference? So we were on the
same way.
Think of a card. We're figuring you out, man.
And number three, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, and a couple of transition scores.
Dude, I was so close.
The answer is...
How do you describe the DTD crew's dating history?
Nice.
Think of a card.
Whoa.
Nice.
We're on to you. Think of a card.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at the Caden, and he wants to know, who is our favorite all-time role player? He says his is Daquan Cook.
That is the strangest answer.
That is a really weird answer.
He did say that. I had to abbreviate his tweet, but yeah, he said, this is really weird, but Daquan Cook was my favorite role player for
so long.
He's like he was the Anthony Morrow of that season, because everybody's just like, he needs more minutes. Yes. Get Daquan in the game. He's out of the league.
Tree and Leaf made a shirt for him.
Yeah, he's playing in China. Probably.
Yeah, you really keep up with the Chinese league, Luke?
I do, since Jordan Crawford's there.
Dude, J. Crawford.
Averaging 41 points a game.
He's the man.
Yep, he is.
All right.
Jabron,
who's your favorite role player?
I freaking love Lamar Odom.
Oh, this is the whole NBA.
Oh, yeah, this is all time.
Okay.
Isn't it all? Yeah.
Yeah, this is all time.
Not just Thunder. Lamar Odom was one of my favorite role players in the league ever. He could do everything. You always kind of wanted more out of Odom, but you just have this 6'10 guy who can rebound and then dribble the ball up the court like a point guard, distribute. I always loved watching Lamar Odom his whole freaking career. He was great.
Yeah.
He was really good.
I see a lot of people talking about him on Twitter. Like, what if Lamar Odom was in his prime today, in today's NBA?
He'd be perfect.
He's the perfect four in today's NBA.
He would play five a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
he'd be so good.
He would be. He would also be frustrating, because he'd be like, man, why, we got to get more out of Lamar.
Yep.
People always said that.
I don't think mine is going, you're going to accept that he's a role player. I hope he will.
Okay.
Dennis Rodman.
Exactly.
He's
mine.
A role player?
Yeah,
he's a role player. Mine too.
I love Dennis
Rodman. He played a role.
Love him. Just gobbled up rebounds.
Gobble him. They called him Turkey Man. For that reason. They did not.
Nope. I was going to say, I missed that.
mine's Andre Iguodala. I've loved Andre Iguodala forever.
That's true.
And he's kind of turned into a role player. When I really fell in love with him, he was kind of like the star of the Sixers.
Like,
you know?
The poor man's LeBron. Homeless man's LeBron.
Yeah, no, poor man's LeBron.
We had some serious arguments over Twitter about this.
Like 5 years ago.
A long time ago. Longer ago than that, I think.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Andrew's calling him homeless man's LeBron. I was calling him poor man's LeBron.
Yeah.
You be the judge, people. Finals MVP.
I also love Earl Boykins and Slava Medvedenko.
I don't know who that is.
All right, let's move on.
Jay, who's yours?
He said Rodman.
Rodman.
Oh, Rodman.
That's the first. I was going to go with like Charles Oakley.
Yeah,
like, I love guys that are just come in and they just are the guys that just do all the grit crap. Yeah. And then I was like, well, who's the ultimate guy of that? Rodman. I watched a redo of their, maybe it was that, I don't know if it was a 30-30, no, it was on NBA TV, and it was something about that Bulls team that went 72-10, and just the crap that Rodman would do for those teams. And then watching the Bad Boys Pistons one, and when he came into the league, man, it was so freaking awesome. That's to awesome. Watch that guy.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @Seth_Odom. Who wants to know, assuming the Suns are staking claim in Tank City, are they more likely to give up PJ Tucker for expiring DJ and Novak contracts?
Jay, your boy, Peach.
I think they're definitely more likely to give up. But here's the deal. If they're going to give him up, they're going to shop him really hard to a lot of teams, and a lot of teams are going to want to have PJ Tucker on their team. So they're going to take the most.
And they'll have a better whatever stuff to give, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it depends. I think you're going to have to give up Mitch McGarry if you're going to want to get him.
Fine with me.
Okay. Like, Toronto would probably want him. The Clippers will want him. The Cavs will want him. Like, there's tons of teams. Why are you guys chugging water right now?
So thirsty.
So thirsty for BJ Tucker.
Oh, that makes me thirsty.
okay. there's a lot of teams that will be in the market for PJ Tucker at the deadline because he is he's a bulldog and he can shoot a little bit.
What's a bulldog?
He's not shooting a very good percentage this year.
No, but he's also on a really crappy Suns team. Really bad.
But I just saw that Devin Booker is in the 3-point contest.
That's awesome. I love Devin Booker.
Fun. Only bright spot on that team.
He's so much fun.
Yeah, he is.
He's great. He would have been great for the Thunder if he would have made it to 14. But I'm glad that he didn't because now, because I think Sam Presti would have passed on him and be like,
we'd be more mad about it.
All right, guys, our last Twitter question we've sort of already talked about. We can talk about it again. It's from @WhiskeyAddict, who wants to know, has Dion's play since starting impressed us? And will Robertson be starting when he comes back?
I think he still starts.
Oh, baby.
I hope he does.
I love hearing his name called in the starting lineup at the game. It's one of the best things.
It's the best. It's
one of the best things about my personal life.
Right, I don't know. Now. I mean, this is the test of everything that Donovan, we think Donovan's kind of about, right? As far as like, look at the team. And so the bad thing is all the metrics are still, aren't the metrics massively on the side of Robertson starting? And
People throwing all sorts of metrics
but
out
you
there.
You can just tell. You can just like
the spacing's better.
Going back to Luke's inappropriate quote,
and you know when you see it.
You know
it.
You see it. Yeah. The team just looks better.
I don't know.
But I mean, whatever. Robertson was playing 15 minutes, and
yeah,
most of those were at the beginning of the game and the beginning of the third quarter. So that's it doesn't matter.
There's so much more fun to watch when Dion is playing and not Robertson.
For real.
I prefer Dion to play. I don't care if Robertson never plays again. Or Mitch McGarry.
That's right. Hey.
Guys.
Andrew, what do you think happens?
I think Robertson comes back.
I absolutely could see that. Mine's all wishful thinking. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Dion, so I'd love it if he'd stay in the starting lineup. He does, like I said, it does help with the spacing. It gives you another ball handler in the starting lineup, but...
And the second unit hasn't suffered as much as you.
They don't. It gives just Cam the ball more. Cam needs to have the ball more.
And this gets more looks. Yeah. I think using Robertson in spots on that second unit is not a bad idea.
Yeah, the second unit needs defense. I think it makes sense. I also think it would make sense for them to go get a guy like PJ Tucker.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
So if they do get PJ Tucker, let's say they do, and it's before Robertson comes back. They start PJ Tucker. Dion's off the bench. What happens to Andre Robertson?
Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out. Peace out.
Peace out, Robertson. Hey, Andre Robertson, peace out. Oh, my gosh.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Nice knowing you, buddy.
Next question.
Let's move on to some trade calls.
Oh, my.
Oh, man.
So we're going to be trading Al Horford today.
Oh, wow. Just
going on with Atlanta.
They're just not as good as they thought they would be. They have a brand new ownership group, and they're really disappointing them right now.
Kyle Korver not being Kyle Korver changes everything for that team.
Is he not playing? I'm asking in the sense that I haven't watched them play. I just saw that they were 5-5 in their last 10. And they're shopping Teague, I know, is one of the people they're possibly shopping.
Yeah. What are they going to get back for Jeff Teague, though?
Who was one of the ones I heard were pretty interested in?
But he's pretty good, but like, who are they going to get?
Trade market? Not so open.
Nick Young?
They could get Swaggy back.
Oh, you could easily get Swaggy P for Jeff Teague.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I was trying to think of teams that...
Who wants to be... current interim GM Wes Wilcox.
Jay, you got it.
I'll be
What's West?
Hey, help me out though. Whenever you tell me these other GMs, like, give me a context from where they're coming. I don't know them well.
He's just saying, tell them the team that they're
for. So when you're like, and then like their family history and anything else you have.
All right,
here we go.
Address.
Ring, ring, ring.
Their lifestyle. Are they urban lifestyle? Rural.
Hello.
Ring, ring, ring.
Gar Foreman. Gar.
Yes.
My lifestyle is whiskey. And winning.
Oh no. He says his H's with his W's.
It's great.
What?
What do you mean?
Yes, what can I do for you?
Okay. Al Horford, he's leaving. We all know it. You know it. We'll give you Nikola Mirotic and Taj Gibson for Al Horford. Horford.
Nikola Mirotic.
There's no W in Horford.
So you said Nikola Mirotic and Taj Gibson.
Yes.
Hmm.
God, that's... Now, did you talk to Al? You know he's leaving.
You do? No,
he's not talking to me. I'm assuming he's leaving. Do you know? Golly, I would... Give me Noah...
You, oh,
hold on.
Hell yeah.
Hold on.
Let's do it.
I'm sending you a counter trade. I want Snell.
Yeah.
And everybody else on your team. I don't know. It's close enough trade, but if he's gone, yes. If Horford's going, I'm going to take that trade because I want whatever I can get. And I like both of those players.
That's a pretty good pull. Taj and Mirotic.
But I feel like if you're depending on Tiago Splinter being your...
Yeah, Tiago's been hurt.
That's what I'm saying. So you're just completely empty at the center position. And they still probably have convinced themselves in some level that they can do something in the playoffs, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good trade, but that why I would want Noah is because... But he's probably leaving
too. He's an expiring contract, and he can't play. He can't. Yeah. I mean, he's out for the season.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying for the future of your, if you could convince him to stay in Atlanta.
Yeah, if he gets healthy and.
If that's what if you're getting rid of Horford, you're looking not toward the end of this year. Right? Unless you really feel like. I don't think so.
Probably not.
And not replacing him with two power forwards or whatever Mirotic is, small forward, power forward hybrid.
Yeah.
So.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello. Hello.
Rob Hennigan here.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, my lifestyle is being good looking and making decent draft picks.
All right. Good.
That's pretty good lifestyle.
That's a great lifestyle.
Rob in Orlando.
A great guy to look up to.
Disney World, Harry Potter World. I'll trade you Nick Vucevic and Elfrid Payton for Al Horford.
Yes.
All right. This is great.
It's probably because I watched that Magic game and I'm like, Vucevic is so freaking good.
Yeah, he's good, really dude. Good.
He's good.
Plus, you want to get rid of Teague, Elfrid Payton, funky hair. That's a good young crew going forward for the
Elfrid Payton's not that good though.
I think he's I think he's good. I like Elfrid Payton.
I don't think he's good.
At all.
He's not that good. I don't think he's a starting point guard.
That is wacky for you to say that.
I think it's
no. Really. I mean, do you
like that trade
guard at that point?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, Schroeder is your starting point guard.
I wouldn't do it if I'm Atlanta. I wouldn't touch it.
Why not?
Because I'd just try to. I'd rather try to re-sign Al Horford than have those guys.
But I thought we were assuming.
I thought we were assuming he's going, and
that was Gar Foreman just trying to talk you into the trade.
Damn it, Gar!
Gar is good.
Gar. All right.
Man. Wow, Gar is really good.
Gar baited me into that.
Got you, man.
But it's a. I mean, it's an interesting.
I like
idea.
Vucevic a lot.
And then what does it do for? I mean, it really. I mean, what does that do for the Magic? Like they'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
Like they'd be really good. Okay.
Ring, Horford, ring. Florida.
Ring, ring.
Hello.
Ernie Grunfeld.
Okay. Hey. Hey, Ernie.
My lifestyle is being depressed about my team not being that good anymore and singing to George Washington Monument at night. It's Washington, D.C. I'm from the Wizards.
There. All right, I got you. I'm there.
We'll give you Brad Beal and Nene Hilario for Al Horford and Thabo Sefolosha.
God, no. I'm out. Brad Beal is too injury plagued. It makes me nervous to give Horford.
Nene sucks.
If now I realize that Horford's not leaving, like I was told by old Gar, friend Gar.
That's Gar's fault. Okay.
Gar ain't your friend.
Click. Ring, ring, ring.
Hey, side note, me and Ernie share a birthday.
Oh.
Wow.
Beautiful.
And you look identical.
We look like the same. And we're both from Romania.
Holy moly.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Larry Bird.
Yes, Larry.
My lifestyle is kicking everyone's ass.
With your left foot.
All right, Larry, what can I do for you?
We'd like to acquire Al Horford. We'll give you rookie sensation Miles Turner, Rodney Stuckey, and improving young man Solomon Hill.
No.
Okay.
Click.
Just gotta try it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a horrible trade. ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Ring, ring. Pat Riley.
He said Rodney Stuckey, and I was like, nope.
Yeah, I know. It's a terrible trade.
Hey, proving young man Solomon Hill. Like a seventh year in the league at this point.
Hey, Pat.
Pat Riley, my lifestyle is slick back hair, looking good.
Walking the beach, looking for
being
chicks.
On the beach, only buttoning about 4 buttons on my shirt.
Hey, that's my style. I like that.
Pat Riley, okay, you're gonna be blown away by my offer.
All right, here we go.
Lualdang, Justice Winslow, Hassan Whiteside.
Yep,
for Al Horford and Kent Bazemore.
Oh, Bazemore. What do I feel like Bazemore will be with my team? So Hassan, Ding is just, is he expiring yet?
I love how you call him Ding.
Ding.
it's something you've always done, and it's maybe my favorite thing about our podcast in general, is you call him Lol Ding. Ding.
Lol Ding.
LOLDING. Lol Ding.
Is this why you set me up to be this, like, this whole setup to be this general manager on the trade calls is to get this?
This is all for a ding.
All for Lol Ding. All right. Justice Winslow. Yes, I'm doing that trade.
Yeah, that's a great.
I'd do it too. Well, considering Whiteside's better than Horford anyway, you are. Such a lopsided trade.
Okay, so you have you can put Bazemore in the starting lineup next. As a small forward, basically.
Yeah, he's all right.
And then you have Bosch and Horford.
Just
and
killing.
And Dragic. Like, that would be awesome for the Heat.
Yeah.
And then it's also a good, like, the Hawks, like, if
but you're giving up on the future for the Heat. Like, you're, that's a, that is, what is a the win future? Now play.
Yeah, but what is the future for the Heat?
At least you have Winslow and Bosch for 5 more years.
Yeah, but then you have, like, Horford and Bosch are, and
yeah, they're both relative. Horford's not that old, is he?
He's not that old.
That's true.
So that's a great trade. That's probably a good trade for both teams. That's why I would have taken for Atlanta, too.
I think so. Last one. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Ring, ring. Sam Presti here.
Hey, Sam.
My lifestyle is bringing the community of Oklahoma City alive.
And jazz music.
And playing the drums. And purchasing lots of classes.
Do you think Sam plays the drums like hard or really soft?
Really
and
soft. I mean, like.
Ugh. Ugh.
Sam.
Oh, like slow jazz.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Sam? How can I help you?
Well, we'll trade you Serge Ibaka for Al Horford.
No.
You're making a big mistake.
No.
All right. Goodbye.
Click.
I don't think I would do it either. For this team, I don't think I would do it.
I keep thinking center position, man. And I know Serge could probably, maybe.
It's tempting.
He could play Horford at the power forward.
No, I'm saying for Atlanta.
You know? For Atlanta?
Yeah. Because I was the GM of Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just can't, like, I don't know. I still question Serge's value outside of a system. Like,
would you do it if you were Sam Presti?
No. I don't know, man. I don't know Al Horford well enough, to be honest with you, what he brings comparatively.
I think in today's NBA, Al Horford is a center, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Well, and then they run him with Millsap.
Who's, right, exactly. But he used to play power forward. I mean, with Thiago Splitter, they would play.
He's a power forward. Yeah.
Hey, guys, what's your top five power rankings?
Top five power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top five power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top five power rankings. Down to the podcast of a power rankings.
Yeah, it's over.
We're going to rank the top five players.
This is fun.
The Thunder and Golden State.
So if you take both teams, put them together, who are your top five players?
This year or overall?
This year.
This year. Okay.
Right now.
Number one.
Right now.
Number one.
Number one.
Steph Curry.
It's Steph. It's freaking Steph. It's
Steph.
Ugh. The other night.
He's so good.
He's good. KD hit the game winner, and my brother was saying, like, oh, KD had 37. He's probably sneaking up on Steph. And then he looked at Steph's score, and he scored 51 that night.
Yeah.
11 three-pointers.
He's good.
Okay.
One away from
number
the
two.
Kevin Durant.
KD.
KD. Number three.
Russell Westbrook.
Russ.
Number four.
Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
Draymond.
Number five.
Klay Thompson.
Is that it? That was easy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Clay.
It's Clay. There's not really any.
So who's six? Serge?
Serge.
Or do you go to Iggy?
Festus.
Festus.
No.
Bogut. Harrison Barnes.
Ennis.
Ennis.
God. Where would Ennis? Where would Ennis be?
Okay, let's keep going. Who's six? Serge.
Six is Serge.
Seven.
Bogut.
Bogut?
Yeah.
Bogut.
I love Bogut.
Bogut's the fourth best player on the Warriors?
Yeah.
You would Iguodala? Come on, dude. H. Barnes?
Hold on. Sorry, let me start
H.
over.
Barnes.
Luke, will you
Barnes.
Give me number one again?
Come on, dog.
What?
Come on,
number
Petey
one.
Steph?
How?
What is
you know who the five best players for both teams are?
Steph.
Dion.
KD.
Dion. Dion.
No.
Dion
no.
and Dion.
No.
The end.
That's for Alex Spears.
Dion for sure falls out of top 10 at both of those teams.
Are you kidding? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude.
Who's better, Dion or Leandro Barbosa?
Dion.
Okay.
Come on, dude.
Who's better, Livingston or Dion?
Dion.
Hey, I'm guys. Thinking about that one.
Brandon
Honestly,
Rush?
I'm thinking about it.
Are you guys miffed?
Rob Thomas or
and
Dion?
Are you guys
or Rob
peeved?
Hennigan?
Miffed and peeved.
Miffed or peeved?
And peeved.
So yesterday, I went to the Mule for lunch, and
yum.
My cousin was there, and he gave me a Mule mug
Ooh.
Full of ice cream, which was really great. Took the Mule.
Salted caramel?
Oh, yeah, dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh. Anyways, I had the mug. I put it in my backpack, and when I got home...
Without the ice cream.
Without the ice cream in my stomach.
I was thinking it was full of ice cream.
Just threw it in my backpack full of ice cream. I was so miffed at myself. Like, what was I doing? I forgot the ice cream melted. Anyways, I'm going to get the mug out of my bag, and I drop it, and it broke.
Oh,
I was so miffed.
Dude, you're a freaking dingus.
It was a really lol ding of me.
Lol ding.
Lol ding.
You're a lol dingus.
Luau.
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 That's what you just said.
Luau.
Luau ding.
Luau ding.
L-U-E-A-L-D-I-N-G.
Luau. All right. Who else is miffed? Who else is peeved? That sucks.
I was so mad about it. But he did. I have more at home, but I still want more at home.
You want all the mugs.
Yeah, I want all the mugs.
You want to get them frosty, those mugs.
This is a coffee mug.
Coffee
right?
mug.
Ah, never mind.
Now I have my miffed and peeve.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about beer mug. Not
I,
as
I
cool.
Was with
not
you.
As cool.
Who else is miffed?
Jay, you miffed?
I'm not. I can't think of anything.
Come on, Jay.
Taylor, you miffed?
I'm miffed. I've been sick for like 9 days, and it's just now, I'm just now getting over it. So now I'm grateful and blessed because all this snot that's just been like locked in my face is just rushing out, and it's feeling great. It's feeling really good.
That's good. You neti pot?
Yeah, I did. It doesn't. It's like in my face, not like in my nose. You know what I'm saying?
Man. I'm not miffed. I'm not upheaved.
Hey, guys. It's been a good week, except for Andrew.
Yeah. Guys, we have a Say What Stat of the Week.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What? I can't read lips, Jay. Say what?
Stat of the Week.
I just wanted to say Steph Curry. No, that's not actually what it was. I was looking up NBA stats for teams yesterday.
Yeah.
You know who's leading the NBA in blocks per game as a team?
Who? Celtics.
No. Celtics. Unless I completely misread it, which hopefully I did.
I hope you did.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I think that is right.
Really? That's surprising.
It's all ish, man.
This is ish.
Ish. Ish comes in, they start blocking everything.
You know, you know what that made me do?
Say what?
It's either them or the Heat. I've been in the mix, and the Thunder have been in the mix all season.
Oh, we're all up in that mix.
For real?
Hey, are we going to do a podcast?
Anybody else
tomorrow?
Have a say what instead of the week?
Maybe. My say what is.
We can talk about that after.
We'll talk about that when we meet. There's a stat called True Facilitation, and I talked about this
week.
I talked about this on the pod with John Hamm. But the Thunder are top five in a stat called True Facilitation this season. Meaning that their passes to open shots have been really great this season. Even though they're not passing, like they're still the team that passes the least in the league, but they're making great passes. So being top five in true facilitation is kind of crazy for them.
I like to think about that as not wasting passes. They're very efficient with their passes.
Yeah. So I said what? Because I did not expect to see that. I was just researching for another podcast, and I just randomly saw that, and it made me say what?
Taylor, you say what's out of the week?
It's got a crack in it.
Oh, my gosh. let's make predictions for Saturday night.
I think we're going to get together and watch and have a great time.
Hey, we are doing we're going to get the whole crew, not the whole crew, the four of us. Don't come to my house if you're listening. But the four of us are coming over to my house to watch the game tomorrow night. We're pretty excited about that. And the Warriors are going to win by 11.
We'll be lol-dinging all over your house. No, I think the Warriors will win.
Whoa. What do you think the score will be?
134 to 121.
Yep, something like that. I'd say 112 to 101.
Low scoring.
For those two guys.
I think I'm going to drink 100 beers.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Nope, we have to do this.
Okay. We're back.
All right. We've got some iTunes reviews that we want to read. Our first 5-star iTunes review comes from at JS Johns. I thought this was Long John Silver. That's probably your nickname. He says, love the podcast. Why doesn't Billy stagger KD and Russ minutes so at least one of them are on the floor at all times? Many teams stagger their lineups so at least two or three starters are on the floor at all times. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Probably not this week, though.
I'll say this. He'll do that in the playoffs. Next one. Thank you so much for the review.
Thank you. Our next comes from Loud City Noah. And he says, we are the second best sports pod behind Low Post. Us guys are great. And one of the only things he does on his iPhone 3GS is listening to us guys.
Hey, it's my favorite review because you mentioned an iPhone 3GS.
Yes, thank you.
That was my favorite phone I've ever had.
Thank you, Loud City Noah. Our final 5-star iTunes review comes from G Black 414, who says,
it was.
Best Thunder podcast out there. Can't wait for the 2-hour-long over-analyzing of the Thunder win over the Warriors on Saturday. Seriously, when they win, please dissect everything. Keep up the good work, guys.
And the power of positive Thoughts?
Thinking.
There we go.
Thank you.
Please leave us an iTunes.
Positive thoughts.
Leave us an iTunes review. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.